So the real question is this: how can podcasters like us, who've done the work, built a following, and actually made a difference, monetize our podcast without selling out to sponsors who don't really value our community anyway? That is the question, and this is the answer. Welcome to Podcast Monetization Secrets. So many times podcasters' first crack at monetizing their podcast is affiliate marketing. It makes sense because many times you start and you don't have a product. You might not even have anything that you're offering on your own. And you think, oh, I can go out and get affiliates and I can go ahead and at least get monetized. And that way I'm paying for all my hosting, may even pay for me to go to a podcast conference or something like that throughout the year. But I can at least be, let's call it break even, right, when it comes to podcasting, because you're not having to put anything in, but you're making a little bit of money on the back end. Now, today, I'm going to give you three things you need to consider with affiliate marketing and sort of some best practices for how you can set up your first affiliate income. And so I want to set realistic expectations for you. There are very few podcasters that are going to have a full-time income from affiliate marketing. That I don't say that to discourage you, but I want to temper your expectations unless you have a really high-end product. I mean, I've heard of affiliate commissions, you know, on a big product being, you know, $40,000, but that might come once every 3 years. So clearly it's not enough to live off on full time. But in an ideal world, what I want to convey to you is that your podcast should be creating multiple streams of income for you. And affiliate marketing, affiliate income is a legitimate way to get some money coming in for you. And the cool thing about it is it's so varied in what you can do. So I'm going to talk today about sort of the best practices that I found out. I've been doing affiliate marketing for a long time, and some with some success and some with less success. And I've made all the mistakes, right? So you don't have to, but I'm going to show you for 2024, if I was a brand new podcaster and I was getting ready to start with affiliate marketing, there are basically three ways that I would start. The first thing that I would do is I would look for affiliate products and services that pay a recurring revenue. Now, let me give you an example of this from my niche. My niche is podcasters, and I help podcasters monetize their podcasts. I help podcasters produce their podcasts. I'm an award-winning podcast producer. So of course, I do all those things. So a lot of my affiliate income comes from podcast-related products. So I'll give you an example in that vein. I used to be an affiliate back in the day when I started podcasting back in 2011. Libsyn was the podcast host that was the sort of gold standard. It was the premier. There weren't many other options. And I think back at that time, people were, you know, a little bit confused about how everything worked with an RSS feed. And it was not nearly as portable and well-known and well, let's just call it exploited as it is now. And so now you have, you know, dozens of options for podcast hosting, and the features and benefits of each one are different, and depending on what your, you know, situation is and how much you're going to be doing a dynamic ad insertion or other things, there's a lot of things to consider to determine what host is best for you. So we have a couple of different hosting companies that we recommend. One of them used to be Libsyn, and we were an affiliate for Libsyn, and Libsyn's affiliate program is not at all something they talk about very often. You have to specifically email them and ask the VP of customer service to be an affiliate. They have to approve you and do all these things. And what Libsyn pays for every referral that you give them is they give you, and let me just say this, this number is at least a couple years old by now. I don't know that they've changed their affiliate program, but when I was an affiliate, I would get 50% of the first full month's billing with the Libsyn plan, whatever the person I referred them to was billing. And that was if they billed for two full months after I know it sounds so convoluted. They bill for 2 full months after they signed up. So the first month is a partial month. Libsyn always bills the first through the end of the month. So if you join in the, you know, on the 14th of the month, they're going to basically be like, oh, you don't get billed until next month. Enjoy your free 2 weeks or whatever. So that's kind of how it works with them. So when they bill this, when the person I refer to Libsyn bills the second month, then I would get half of that as long as they also billed the third month. And then quarterly, Libsyn would send out checks, and they would cut you a check for it, and you just get it in the mailbox randomly. And it might be $40 or $60 or whatever. And there was no reporting for it. There's no way to track your referrals. There was no way to check what links were performing or anything like that, which all of these things are considerations, because with affiliate marketing, you're actually putting out a link or a coupon code or something with your name attached to it. And so when I would set up my clients or have my clients set up Libsyn, then we would get 50% of the second month's billing, and then that would get sent to me like a quarter later in the form of a check, but I never knew which one was for what services and what clients I sent them. So it was kind of very confusing. But it was legitimate money. I mean, that mailbox money is legitimate money, so it's okay to get some legitimate money like that. When Captivate came along and I started putting some of our podcasts on Captivate, I really, really like Captivate for a couple of reasons. The first being that it let me put more than one show on my account. And, you know, podcasters, was it Lay's that says you can't eat just one chip? Like, podcasters can't just have one podcast, right? So instead of paying monthly fees for every podcast, you can put them all in Captivate under one account and one monthly fee, and everything contributes to that monthly fee. So that was easier. But then Captivate came out with dynamic ad insertion, which I had tried through Libsyn, which you can only get through their enterprise account. And it was like literally $400 and something a month for one show on Libsyn with dynamic ad insertion. And let's just say the ad technology wasn't the most user-friendly, it had a lot of bugs in it, and it's very hard to work with. So I started using Captivate more and more. So I started thinking, what is Captivate's affiliate program? So I reached out to the owner at that time, Mark Asquith, and I said, what can I do to become a Captivate affiliate? And he basically gave me all the information. And I found out immediately that Captivate is a recurring revenue. They pay me 25% of every referral's monthly fee for the life of that account with Captivate. So you see what a difference it makes when I'm getting paid. I'm sending someone a customer that pays monthly versus I'm sending someone and I get paid once half of their monthly fees and I never make another dime off of that. So it's important when you consider affiliates, that's a huge consideration, because even if I sent somebody to Captivate and they paid $19 a month, so that means I make $9 and some change. I would make like $4 and some change based on 25% of that monthly fee. I would rather do that and build that monthly income. So now by the time I have 25 or 30 people that I've referred to them, because I do it in the course of my business, setting up people's podcast hosting service. If I do it that way, then what happens is I become a building recurring revenue for myself. So I become a regular payout for them. And that's a whole lot better than a one-time random check. Plus, they have affiliate reporting where I can look and see how my links are performing. I can look and see who my signups were. And I can see every time I get a payout, I can see which people that was paid out for. And so I have a good accounting for it. So for me, I switched my referral of a podcast host from Libsyn to Captivate for this specific reason of recurring revenue. So you want to think about it. Anytime you're getting someone to come on and sign up for a monthly fee, the company that pays recurring revenue is going to get my business more than another one that doesn't. Even as my company, we have an affiliate program and we pay monthly a 10% recurring fee of what we charge our customers. So if you send me a client and I charge them $1,000 a month, then you're going to get $100 a month as long as that client is with us. A much better deal than just, here's a $100 referral fee. right? So number one, you want to make sure you're looking for affiliates that pay recurring revenue. And if you have an option, then I would always choose that one. Now, let me also put a caveat here, and this is my disclaimer, because I feel like you should only recommend products that you use and you know, like, and trust, and your reputation becomes on the line whenever you refer and put people on other services. So if they doesn't work out or they turn out terrible, then it's going to be reflective of your reputation. So I would always say, you know, look at your business. And if you are currently using it in your business, you're teaching other people to do the same thing in your podcast that you're teaching, that you're doing in your business, I should say, then what will happen is you have the ability to look at all of your systems and processes and figure out what programs, products, services you're using on a regular basis, and then get those to be the affiliates that you offer. And when you have a choice, choose recurring revenue, because then you're just building over time, over time, over time. So number two is don't rule out Amazon. Now, Amazon is an affiliate marketplace that over time, and let's just say since COVID, has become less and less of a player in the marketplace for affiliates, because they have such automatic name recognition. They are such a, I don't want to call them a monopoly, but they've got a good percentage of the online ordering e-commerce market share, right? So that means what they're doing is, and especially after the pandemic, when everyone was having to order things by Amazon, they've reduced their commissions greatly. But here's the thing about Amazon. You set up an Amazon account, an affiliate account. They call it Amazon Associates account. And you go ahead and get set up, and then they give you like a, there's a little, it's almost like a plugin that pops up on your web browser. So every time you're logged in, you're an affiliate, you can also then just grab a link from whatever product you're looking at within Amazon, and it will give you, that's your like affiliate link that for that product. So you can just put that, send that out. But what I want to stress to you is you have to get an affiliate sale within the first 6 months of being an Amazon affiliate. Otherwise, they shut your account down. So I've had multiple clients set up Amazon affiliate accounts or Amazon associate accounts that they call it. And then within 6 months, they didn't get a sale and they got shut down and they never went back to try it again. Now, I don't know if you've listened to podcasts for a long time, but one of the very first things you started noticing, if you listened to podcasts a long time ago, was people started asking their guest what books they recommended. And even podcasting has become sort of the PR tour for authors, right? So books and that sort of thing. So if you're an author and you want to sell books, probably part of your PR tour is going to be get on as many podcasts as possible. And here's the thing. Back in the day, if you think about this, this makes sense. Back in the day, Amazon used to be mainly for books. That's how they started out. Back in 2006, I was an Amazon bookseller and did e-commerce completely on Amazon. And so I sold books. My garage looked like a library. And so books were their main things. So if you were an Amazon affiliate, the main thing you were obviously selling was books, right? So as podcasters, we started really becoming normalized around 2010, 2012, that 2010 to 2014 kind of year range is whenever podcasting started to happen very, very prominently and people started to get wind of it. So what you want to think about is when they ask the guest what books they recommended or links for their books, they were then doing an Amazon affiliate link for every book they were recommending. So if you started podcasting years ago, and every post you recommended books or you had a guest recommend books and those were affiliate links, you would have an amazing web of Amazon affiliate links out there on your website that each month might be automatically generating $20, $30, $40, $70, depending on what else you do. Here's the trick for Amazon. You got to get it within the first 6 months. So when you do an Amazon affiliate, set it up, right? You set up your Amazon affiliate. The very first thing you want to do is begin creating a post or a podcast about all the things that it takes you to run, all the things you use to run your business every single day. So I've seen a lot of podcasters do this as like, here's my morning routine. Here's my evening routine. Here's my eating. Here's what I eat in a day. That's very, very popular for anything in the health and wellness or food nutrition space, like what I eat in a day or the best gluten-free snacks or keto-friendly snacks or whatever. So people are using these types of content to put out there to just promote their affiliate links. Now, I know when I started listening to podcasts, I started listening to John Lee Dumas, and years into his podcast monetization journey, he did a blog post. It was a podcast. I'm not sure it was a podcast because most of his podcasts at that time were guest interviews. So he just did a blog on his website about his daily routine. And in it, he started with, I get up in the morning and I brush my teeth with this particular toothbrush, and this is why I use it. And then I use this particular toothpaste. Then I use this spritzer or toner or whatever on my face. Then I go make myself this breakfast every single morning, or this protein shake or whatever it was. So he had this whole blog post, and every single one of those things that he talked about was an Amazon affiliate link. And he put that post out, and I'm sure with the amount of traffic he was getting to his website and his podcast that particular time, he probably made tens of thousands of dollars off just that one blog post. Now, if you will do that very shortly after you set up your Amazon affiliate link, it's a completely legitimate and legal way. You're not manipulating anything. You're not trying to send your affiliate link to your mom and have your mom order something from Amazon, because again, completely against their terms of service. So what they're wanting you to do is promote items on Amazon through your audience organically, and you're doing that. So if you do that, and then you can continue, once you have that blog post done, you can continue linking that blog post back in other blog posts. Or when I say blog post, I'm also talking about podcast posts on your website. So you can continue, want to see what my daily routine for success is? Here's that post. And you continue linking it back, and before you know it, you're internal posts are driving traffic to that post with all your affiliate links in it. And that post has new affiliate links for any products that you recommended. So you see how it becomes a web that you put out there of all these little links across, like little spiders crawling across the web, and someone's going to click on them. And just passively, after you do it the first time, or that you do it each time you do a podcast and figure out what you're linking affiliate wise, what you're talking about in your show, then you become in a routine of adding new affiliate links out there on the web every single day. And over time, you might end up with 50 or 100 posts that have your Amazon affiliate links in them, and people will click them at different times, and you'll get all the revenue from that, or the commissions from that, I should say. You don't get the revenue, you get the commission. So then you'll get all the commissions for that. And different products have different commissions. And there's a whole strategy for being a like sort of full-time Amazon affiliate, and ways to get your videos ranked and review videos and things for products, and get just really a lot of recurring affiliate income. And to do that, you have to sort of be in a different category. You have to be sort of an Amazon influencer, and that's a whole different category, but it is something some of you might qualify for. And I might do a video about that a little bit later to show you what you would qualify for if you were indeed an Amazon influencer and were able to put your review videos of products. And obviously the higher priced products and products in different categories in Amazon also take different commissions home for you as an affiliate or as an Amazon associate person. So that's Amazon. Don't rule it out. One of the things I see a lot of podcasters do, and I would rule out, and this doesn't just apply to Audible, but I'm thinking of Audible specifically. A lot of people are like, oh, I have an Audible link, and it gives them like a free book or maybe a free credit a month. I'm not sure what the exact offer is, but they put it out there. And they don't do anything within their podcast to point to Audible. They don't do anything within their podcast to reference books on Audible. They just put it up there, and then they wonder why nobody, like, they didn't get any sales. And I think you might get paid like $15 or something for every person that signs up under your Audible link. But you have to do things intentionally to get people to click on your Audible link. But here's the other part. For you as an Audible associate, or it's not even an Audible associate, as an Audible affiliate, So for you as an Audible affiliate, you don't have a different offer than they put out to the general public. So even if you tell someone that's never heard about Audible before about Audible, if they just go to Audible's website and not through your affiliate link, then Audible has the same offer on their website that they're giving everyone else. And so there's no incentive for anyone to use your affiliate link to get to their website and buy an Audible membership, right? So with that being said, I haven't seen many people be effective at all on Audible. But I also think that many of these products and services are just not well suited for the podcast niche. Now, if you're doing a lot of authors on your show and you're bringing a lot of guests on as authors and you are also reading books, or maybe even you have a book club as a Patreon type membership thing that people are paying monthly to be part of, great. Use your Amazon affiliate links for that. Use your Audible affiliate credits for that. Like, use all of those affiliate incomes that you can put out there, affiliate links that you can put out there as ways to drive income back to you. But you have to be very intentional and very strategic about it. If you just insert randomly into your show and say, hey, if you want to join Audible today and get a free credit or two free credits for the first month or whatever their offer is, and you just put it randomly in your show and it's not really linked anywhere and there's not really any correlation or not a specific book you're recommending, then you're probably not going to be very effective with it. And I say you're wasting your breath to be promoting these products and services. You want to get paid on the back end of those as well. So it's definitely worth considering. Now, I want to show you, I'm going to take you to my computer to show you the last thing. Sort of this is the third thing I want you to think about when it comes to best ways to, as a podcaster, maximize your affiliate income. So I have a friend, and I'm going to take you to my screen share, who is in marketing. And so I run into him at all the marketing events, and he's sort of become a guru in his own right for marketing. And what he did is something amazing, and I'm just going to show you. He found out, and I've got my screen share on right here. So he found out from SEO research, right, that the word, or the long tail keyword, best marketing resources, was getting quite a bit of traffic on the Google or on the search engines or whatever. So what he did, and this is genius, that's why I'm sharing the strategy with you, and a lot of us need to do this for our niches, but we just haven't had the time to put it all together yet. But he found out best marketing resources was a keyword getting a lot of traffic. So what did he do? He's like, oh, already traffic is out there. He went and bought the URL, the domain, bestmarketingresources.com, right? Because now that's 100% domain match for that high traffic keyword with SEO. And I hope you understand enough about SEO to understand that, like, the traffic's already out there. And he's just like, what can I do to jump in front of as much of it as I possibly can? So he bought this bestmarketingresources.com. And it's now, I'm just going to go to the URL here and show you. So he did bestmarketingresources.com. And on this page, he created, and those of you that are listening to this by a podcast, you're not going to be able to see it. But if you want to go to YouTube and look at the video that is going on right now, you can do that. The YouTube channel is under my channel, Christy Hostler. And I'm going to show you. So this bestmarketingresources.com website, what he did is, you know, back in the day, Pat Flynn was the sort of the best affiliate marketer out there. And even if you look at Pat Flynn's website, he just sort of has like lists and links on his website. Like, the software I recommend for accounting is this software. The software I recommend for this is this. And it's just sort of like a list. Let me tell you what Steven Larson did here. And you can see it here, bestmarketingresources.com. He said, after getting asked so often what resources he used for his business, this is what he did. So he created this page here. He's got a video at the front welcoming you to be like, hey, this is what I use in my business every day. I keep this updated, and it goes through the whole thing. He's got a little video here. And then look what happens. He's got all of these. He's got a sort of a bar here where you can jump to resources for every funnel that he builds, all the resources that he uses, his, how he manages his team, how he publishes and does his creative work, like writing blogs and emails and creating artwork, how he has resources for funnel hacking, what he does for his fulfillment, and what his favorite educational products are. So he's got each one of these, and you can jump down here, and here's the crazy thing. What he's done is, and I'm just going to show you on the screen here, he's created a little content block. And so, for example, for his email service, he uses SendGrid. So what he's done is he's created a little video here, and I'm just going to play this or get it to pull up. And so he's probably got a 2 or 3 minute video about, okay, this is 5 minutes and 53 seconds, about showing you exactly how he uses SendGrid in his business. He shows you screenshots. He shows it how you, how he got it set up. And then he's basically like, so if you want to set up SendGrid, I can't even say it. If you want to set up SendGrid, then go click this. He's got the button right here with this link on it. And so this is what he's done for every single one of these things. He's got SendGrid, Funnel Scripts, Banjaro, Cloudflare, UseProof, Zapier. He's got, I mean, he's got all of these things down here. See, he's got Libsyn on here. He needs to change his to Captivate, so he's getting monthly recurring revenue on the affiliate for podcasting, but he has podcasts too. So this is like he's done every single thing for his business. He's just gone through all the tools, whether it's Canva, whether it's ClickFunnels, whether it's, you know, some sort of place it, you know, image mockup or whatever. He's become an affiliate for those products, gotten an affiliate link. And then everything here, he's done a how-to tutorial, how he uses them in his business. And then it's got this, these are all his affiliate links going to these places: Stripe, PayPal, Zoho, Woofoo, Stamps.com, Signs by Tomorrow, all of these things. So this, just in talking to him and hearing him talk about him creating this, at one time, this was bringing him $20,000 to $30,000 a month of recurring revenue that he did completely passively after he created the initial page and built it out. And then now all he's got to do is every time he has a new affiliate or every time he has a new product or service, just create that one video, put the one content block in there with a link to the video. Amazing, helpful resource. And because he joined it with a highly searched term within SEO, then he's getting free traffic. So he doesn't do anything other than just sometimes talk about it to drive traffic to this page. He's letting the search engines drive it for him. Now, he's talked about it enough that now you've got some other people, whenever you Google best marketing resources, that are paying to get ads in front of his best marketing resources URL match. But he could also pay to run Google ads to this as well and make, again, tens of thousands of dollars a month in passive income just from doing this affiliate thing. So those are three things that I want you to think about as you set up your affiliates in 2024. As a podcaster, if you're new to starting out with podcasting and you don't have your audience built yet, or if you're new to affiliate marketing, it might be a slow build for some of these things. But what happens is if you keep doing it, week after week, month after month, year after year, you're going to end up 2 years from now and have hundreds of links out there on the World Wide Web. And you don't know at what point 2 years down the road, someone's going to get a hold of an old podcast or an old post that you did. And suddenly you're going to see traffic go like crazy to that post, and all it's set up perfectly because all your affiliate links are right there. So this is what I want you to think about when you're doing affiliate marketing, is the ways to do it so that you actually get something for it. Most podcasters don't get anything out of it, but it should be a viable income stream. I would say with our revenue, when I look at our numbers from last year, about 10 to 15% of our revenue on a yearly basis comes from affiliate marketing. And you say, well, see, Christy, you're not living off of affiliate income full-time either. Yeah, I'm not. And I'm not trying to make it my full-time income. If I wanted to, and I wanted to go that route, I could build all these little things that are just constantly generating affiliate links for me and affiliate income for me. But take that 10 to 15% of annual revenue away, And that's still more than most people make in a year working a regular job. So it's like having another job or another income coming in just because you've done the groundwork. So I would encourage you, figure out what your niche is, figure out what highly searched terms are inside of those. And I've got an affiliate link for a product called Surfer SEO, because we use these tools all the time to determine what content to put out, to determine what we can do to get in front of more people organically. Because if you don't do it organically, you've got to pay for the traffic. And if you pay for the traffic, that comes out of your pocket, comes out of your margins, and Zuckerberg and the likes of Google and places like that can eat your lunch quickly when you're paying for traffic. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you like this information and this content, please subscribe and follow. More will be coming about breaking down each one of these things that you can do to monetize your podcast.